Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
It's time for some cute little animals today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today, we're taking a trip to the zoo together. Not the same zoo we've been at the last couple of days, though. Today, we're traveling to the LA Zoo, or Los Angeles Zoo, to see what's going on there. There have been some changes and some good news. Before we jump into that, let me welcome my co-host today. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Garrett. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone. And I am excited about this third day of the article because you know what? I love babies.
Yes, especially baby animals can be really cute. Sometimes when they grow up, they look a little mean and dangerous. But when they're really small, they're just, you know, cute. You maybe want to hold them.
Yes. So we've mentioned the past 2 days, I don't like touching animals or animals touching me, but I would love to hold a baby animal. Yeah, they're so adorable.
Well, we have talked about zoos a lot already. We've given some of our opinions on them, some of our experiences. Linda, I do want to ask, though, when you go to a zoo, what are the animals you're specifically looking to go and see?
Well, I do, like I mentioned yesterday, I like big cats. And okay. I like the big animals. When I went to the Taipei Zoo recently, it's funny, I've been living here for a decade, but I only went recently to the Taipei Zoo, and it's great. I just loved watching the gorillas.
Okay.
Especially the big male gorilla, the silverback, just sitting like, they're just so fascinating to observe. And I wish I had more time, but it was towards the end of the day and they were closing soon. But I could just sit there and observe them, just watch their interaction because they're very playful. And then you see, like watching humans, you know, you see the children or the teens, the young people, and then the adults and how they interact and just observing the social interactions and who, maybe guessing who's related to whom and who likes whom. Yeah. So it's just watching those interactions really intrigue me. I also like to, you know, watch, seeing the giraffe eating.
Okay, yeah.
I like watching the animals eat. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, last time I went to the zoo, speaking of giraffes, I just took pictures with the giraffes. I got to feed them some carrots and then just spent way too much time playing around with AI tools to make it look like I was riding the giraffe. I don't know if I should have been doing that. But
that is something that you can do at the zoo. Well, they have the petting zoo. And I remember when I was younger, you also had the opportunity to ride some of the domestic animals, you know, like the farm animals.
Okay, There is one thing you brought up a moment ago that I think is very interesting. The fact that it seems like zoos close really early.
Yeah.
Like if you don't get there early enough, you don't have enough time to see all the animals that you want to.
Right. So you do, if you, because usually a zoo is quite big. There's a lot of area to cover because they have, you know, their habitats or the enclosures for each animal and takes up a lot of space. So you do have to spend a few hours walking from place to place. But they probably, I mean, it's like a normal work day. Like they don't, I mean, sometimes zoos are open at night, you know, for like special occasions.
Right.
Like, to see them at night, but the animals need to rest.
Yeah, you know? I feel like that's part of it, or they want the animals maybe to have a little bit of sunlight while also not having all the people around.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the zoos often are trying to care for the animals and not just be a business.
Right.
And so those considerations are taken in. I would say when I go to the zoo, the things that I really want to see are things like reptiles. I really like reptiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love just seeing an animal that I don't expect to see there.
Oh, like a non-native.
Yeah, or just one that I wouldn't normally see at other zoos. I guess this isn't that strange, but the last time I went to the zoo I mentioned before in Thailand, the animal that I saw and I thought was really cool was a hyena.
Oh,
okay. It was much larger than I thought it would be, and it just was a really interesting looking animal.
Yeah. There's a hyena exhibit at the Taipei Zoo.
Okay.
And I don't often see hyenas. They are a lot bigger than I imagined.
Yeah, it was like a pretty big, strong animal. Mm. I was waiting for it to do that like creepy laugh.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's only in animated movies.
No, they do actually they do. Make that sound, yeah. And it can be scary.
Yeah, this one did not do that. But all right, we are going to be talking, like we said before, about baby animals at the zoo, specifically the LA Zoo. We're going to be looking at a baby boom. So let's learn more about that in this first reading.
Baby boom at the LA Zoo. Tanya Preble has helped shepherd in an LA Zoo baby boom of great apes. A primate was born to 31-year-old Angia and silverback Kelly, 38, whose daughter Angela in 2020 was the first gorilla born at the LA Zoo in more than 20 years. Mom has definitely got a nice maternal hold and is very protective of the baby, said Preble, animal keeper of the zoo's Western Lowland Gorillas. Along with Angela's newest sibling, the zoo has welcomed four other great apes. As exciting as this baby boom is for LA Zoo visitors, it is by no means a surprise to its staff, who have prepared for this moment for years with a slate of contingency plans for every possible scenario. It is, however, a happy coincidence that all births happened within a four-month span. With the last round of babies, I had a lot of visitors tell me that they started caring more about chimps because they saw these babies and they're so adorable, said animal keeper Amy Rawson.
So adorable. We're talking about these baby animals at the LA Zoo. And we had a term in the title and also in this first line, a baby boom. Linda, what does that mean?
Yeah, so if there's a boom, there's a lot of something that's happening at the same time. So this baby boom, there are a lot of babies being born at the same time.
Yeah, and actually this term comes into play in our human society as well. When there was a famous baby boom within the last 100 years, people born during that time are now often called baby boomers or boomers.
Boomers, yeah.
which has taken on a strange context in recent years. But this is specifically people born during that time, like late 40s, during
after
the 50s.
After World War II.
After World War II. Yeah, people were coming home from war and trying to set up families, make a life for themselves. And so a lot of babies were born. And now there is a baby boom of great apes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, at the Los Angeles Zoo. And we're introduced to Tanya Preble. She works at the zoo, and she has helped shepherd in this baby boom. She has helped to guide, to usher in this boom of babies.
Right. We start to meet some of these animals. There's a primate that was born to 31-year-old we're not totally sure how to pronounce this, Ngia, something like that, and silverback Kelly, 38, whose daughter Angela, in 2020, was the first gorilla born at the LA Zoo in more than 20 years. We should backtrack there and say, what is a silverback?
So a silverback is a male gorilla. It's the dominant male gorilla, and then it has develops this silver, like silver on its back. So that's why how we get this name, silverback.
Okay, yeah. I feel like I have seen that kind of grayish color on the back of some gorillas. Well, there is this baby who was born. There hadn't been any in more than 20 years. And Preble, the person who we referred to earlier, mom has definitely got a nice maternal hold and is very protective of the baby. So this mom gorilla is really caring for this new baby.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. Well, she had, I assume, Angela was also born to her. Or maybe not. Maybe that's just the daughter of the silverback, Kelly. But it's great to know that she is maternal, and it's natural for a mother to be protective of their newborn.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're being cared for, and this is in the zoo's Western Lowland Gorilla kind of area, I guess. There are a few different kinds of gorillas, but pretty much all of them originate from a pretty small part of Africa, actually. I believe generally around the countries of Uganda and Rwanda, and are now cared for in a lot of zoos around the world because they're really struggling in their natural habitat. We see, along with Angela's newest sibling, the zoo has welcomed four other great apes, probably also babies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to see that as exciting as this baby boom is for LA Zoo visitors. It's by no means a surprise to its staff, because it's not a surprise since they have prepared for this moment for many years. And they've prepared with a slate of contingency plans for every possible scenario.
Yeah, interesting. So let's talk about what they mean there. They have plans, specifically contingency plans. Usually, these are plans that you make where you will carry out some kind of action if the situation is a certain way. Mm-hmm. Often we use that term to talk about emergency scenarios.
Right. So a contingency is an event or situation that might happen in the future. So if you make contingency plans, you plan for what could happen.
Exactly. And they have a slate of contingency plans. That just means a series of them, a set of contingency plans. And we see it is, however, a happy coincidence that all births happened within a 4-month span. So all of them were kind of happening at the same time. The zoo was probably able to pool its resources and figure things out very quickly. We see, again, another quote here. "With the last round of babies, I had a lot of visitors tell me that they started caring more about chimps because they saw these babies and they're so adorable."
Chimps are chimpanzees. They're also primates, which we talked about yesterday. So they have opposable thumbs, and they can manipulate objects and use tools. But baby chimps, they're so cute. They actually look a lot like human babies, like when they're born.
They are very cute. Adult chimps can be really aggressive and pretty dangerous.
Yeah. They're not that cute when they get older. But babies, they're super cute.
I agree. So these are a little different from the gorillas. Chimps are a bit smaller. But it is interesting that people going to the zoo, it seems like they're starting to really care about this and follow the news. I do think that's interesting when a zoo maybe gets a new baby or they ship in a new animal, mm-hmm. and that causes a lot of people to visit.
Yeah, so it's a big event. And I can imagine having all of these babies within this 4-month period of time, that would attract a lot of visitors. Like they probably advertise this baby, come see the new babies, and a lot of people would be excited to go see these new additions to the zoo.
Yeah, it reminds me of when zoos maybe ship in a panda from China. Mm-hmm. Has always been a big deal at a lot of zoos. Causes a lot of people to come visit, or maybe you can see a live stream online to see how the animals are doing.
Yeah, definitely, because it's something that you don't often get an opportunity to see.
No, and so, we have all these baby animals here at the LA Zoo. They're starting to grow up, and they are adorable. We have more to say about this, though, so let's go to our next reading.
The baby boom is a direct result of breeding recommendations from the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, AZA, which creates a species survival plan that determines which animals to prioritize for breeding around the world and with which mates to reduce the risk of inbreeding and to conserve populations in human care. Zoo officials say the new infants will play a beneficial role in the well-being and dynamics of the entire chimpanzee troop, which is one of the largest of any zoo in the country. For the dozen staff members who care for the zoo's great apes, the baby boom has been a welcomed reminder of why some of them entered the profession in the first place. Everyone that's involved is here for the love of animals and the passion and wanting to leave the planet a better place than we have made it, said Candice Sclementi, the zoo's mammal curator. It's a big impact what we can do ourselves to help, she said.
Well, this baby boom of animals is a happy event for everyone involved. It is exciting, but as we read earlier, it wasn't unexpected. The zoo had been planning for it, but they also helped to shepherd it in. It was actually something they were trying to make happen, not just a happy accident. And we see it's a direct result of breeding recommendations. Who were those from?
Came from the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, AZA. And so they create a species survival plan. So this species survival plan determines which animals to prioritize for breeding in the zoos around the world. And they also recommend which mates for the animals to reproduce with to reduce the risk of inbreeding. Inbreeding is what happens when organisms that are closely related breed, and then because
there's a genetic problem then.
Yeah. So normally those genes that would be suppressed that have negative traits or weaker traits would be suppressed in when you have more varied breeding. But when there's inbreeding, when there's closely related or related organisms breeding, then those traits will come out. So they want to reduce those possibilities, and so that risk of inbreeding, so they will recommend or prioritize certain animals and certain mates. And it's also done to conserve populations, animal populations, in human care.
Linda, I don't know if your mind goes here or if any of our listeners, but this whole last paragraph, if it were in the context of humans, would just sound really weird.
Yes.
If there was a shadowy organization trying to decide who should be mating with who and trying to prevent inbreeding, it'd be a little strange.
Yeah, there have been movies about that. And I think this does happen in real life to a certain degree.
A little bit.
Let's say
arranged marriages.
In the laboratory for pregnancies.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that for couples who can't have children naturally, then they, use scientific methods.
Trying to choose certain traits or.
Yeah. So there is that option, but I think it's definitely not to the degree that they do it here with the animals.
Yeah, and it makes sense for the animals if one zoo is making these decisions for, let's say, the few gorillas that they have, maybe they can figure out how to get a couple more gorillas and take care of those. But unless they're planning this out with other zoos and other gorilla populations, it's hard to have a good plan going forward to protect the species as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so this makes a lot of sense. Preventing inbreeding is important, especially at a zoo where maybe you only have a few of a certain animal.
Exactly, yes. And that's where other zoos come into play, because you want to vary the gene pool. And so you might have your animal mate with species from the same species from another zoo.
Yeah, right? From somewhere very, very different with somewhat different genes, even though it's the same species. Well, zoo officials say the new infants will play a beneficial role in the well-being and dynamics of the entire chimpanzee troop.
which is one of the largest of any zoo in the country. So if you're a big chimpanzee or chimp fan, then the LA Zoo sounds like a great place to go.
Yeah, they have a huge chimpanzee population there.
Yeah, a troop or kind of a group. And so having new babies there will be good, not just for fans of the animals to go and see, but for the social dynamics of this group of animals. Well, for the dozen staff members who care for the zoo's great apes, the baby boom has been a welcomed reminder of why some of them entered the profession in the first place. This makes me think back to those students we were talking about over the last couple of days. They have this passion to go into these fields, and then to actually see kind of their efforts pay off in this way be really exciting.
It would, yes. And it reminds them of, you know, why they got into this profession in the first place, why they became zoologists or animal caretakers. And yeah, it just probably emphasizes their motivation and dedication to this field.
Yeah, it's exciting because it seems like a very difficult thing to accomplish. Of course, having animals mate and then have new babies isn't something you can directly force them to do or force to happen.
And it can be very difficult. I've heard stories about how it's so difficult for pandas to breed, like, because they don't naturally want to.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of effort to get them to reproduce.
You can create the conditions for it, but for it to actually happen is much more challenging.
Yeah. And we mentioned early contingency plans. Even after the baby is born, you have to think about things that could happen. Like, what if it's rejected by its mother? Or, like, will there be a surrogate mother?
Yeah, like we talked about ostracization yesterday.
Yeah, being cast out or rejected. Like, will they be able to find another family or another social group that they can be accepted into? Because primates, especially chimpanzees, they are very social creatures. So they need a social group that they belong to.
Well, we finish off our article today hearing from the zoo's mammal curator. Linda, what did she have to say?
She said that everyone that's involved
is here for the love of animals
and the passion and wanting to leave the planet a better place than we have made it.
Yeah, that makes sense. All the people that work there because they love this. I feel like working at a zoo is not something you do because you want to get rich. It's something you do because you really care about
it. Yeah, because you're passionate about it. You care for the animals. You want to make a difference in the lives of these animals and also for the planet, conservation, keeping these animals alive and sustaining their population.
Yeah, so she also says it's a big impact what we can do ourselves to help. I think she's just saying that they can make a big impact through this work that they're doing by bringing these baby animals into the world and into the zoo. We talked just about a couple of different kinds of baby animals today. We have gorillas and chimps. But Linda, what other kinds of baby animals do you think we should go and see?
You know what? I saw baby elephants in the wild, like with their moms. It's so cute.
Are baby elephants, I know there are other animals like this, when they're just born, they have a really hard time walking. They're kind of like almost falling constantly.
Right. Like I've seen that with horses being born.
Yeah.
Like, but in just a few seconds, like they get it.
Out.
Yeah. Like they might be wobbly at first. Yeah, I think that would apply to giraffes as well. They just are born fully
maybe
formed.
Animals that have like long, thin legs that kind of wobble a little bit.
Yeah.
But it is amazing how fast they figure these things out. And it's amazing that zoos like this are able to care for and keep so many animals alive. Even from animals that are really struggling in their natural habitats. Certainly, gorillas and chimpanzees are in that category.
Right. And we have a sidebar here. The primates are classified as endangered or critically endangered by the International Union for Conservation of Nature, IUCN. And these, they're endangered because of the dangers they face in the wild, in their natural habitat. And they include poaching, being hunted, like for whatever reason, habitat loss and degradation. And that's sometimes caused by mineral hunting for electronics that happens a lot now, as well as disease. So all of these things contribute to why they're endangered.
Yeah. So I think that's a thing to keep in mind when we think about zoos and why they're around. We said previously, earlier in our animal lessons this month, that sometimes zoos can be controversial. Mm-hmm. People have mixed opinions on them. Are they there just to make money and put on a show for visitors? Or do they really care about the animals and want to protect them? Well, you can think about that the next time that you're at a zoo because it's complicated.
It is. It is. And we hope that they're doing it for the latter reason, to protect and to conserve the animals, but that is not always the case.
It's not always the case, but the truth is, without these zoos, some of these animals would be in danger of dying out completely.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for learning with us this month, friends. We had a great time talking about animals with you. We have plenty more to learn on Advanced, but for today, that's all of our time. My name is Garrett.
I'm Linda.
And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.